TUC Radio, Time of Useful Consciousness.
The historic heat of the summer 2023, passing the threshold. Join Dr. Peter Carter, Paul Beckwith, and Regina Valdez in a discussion of the recent temperature records set in the first truly global heat wave on land and in the ocean. This recording was made on July 12th, when the World Meteorological Organization confirmed one record hottest day after another. And Berkeley Earth issued their report saying that June 2023 was the warmest June since records began in 1850. Dr. Peter Carter, Paul Beckwith, and Regina Valdez formed the Climate Emergency Forum and have had a presence at the Conference of the Parties meetings since the 2019 COP25 in Madrid, Spain. They gave presentations in the NGO press conference rooms. Here first is Dr. Peter Carter, expert IPCC reviewer and the director of the Climate Emergency Institute.
What's happening is affecting all of life on our planet here. It's not just us, far from it. So the media had quite a few heydays at the beginning of this month of July 2023, because we had one record hottest day after another after another. We had at least a week at the beginning of this month in which this week was the hottest week worldwide on record. And this was recently confirmed by the World Meteorological Organization, no less. We also, though, what I want to start with, Berkeley Earth were pretty hot off the press because they're the first climate center to issue their report of June of 2023. And June was a record. It was the warmest June ever. It nearly got to 1.5 degrees C. Berkeley Earth reports the global average temperature at 1.47 degrees C, and it is a huge record temperature. It increased from the last June by 0.18 degrees C. That's absolutely massive. Now, no scientists, no models have ever anticipated or thought that this sort of thing would happen. This is a huge non-linear event. The global ocean as well, a huge record for June this year, 2023, and that beat the previous 2016 record in June, that being the past big El Nino. And of course, we're just coming into an El Nino at this time. And there was a lot of attention given by some smart people who managed to spot that crazy things were happening in the North Atlantic temperature. The North Atlantic was a record by a huge margin. It just shot up. That was practically 1.5 degrees C. And this was associated with a marine heat wave around the UK in North Sea, which got a lot of media attention because these things are completely out of line of the kind of situation with global warming and climate change that we've been following. Although, as James Hansen has been pointing out for some time, our global warming situation is accelerating. We're in an accelerating situation. The smart people who spotted these sudden jumps in temperature used the climate reanalyzer. That's the University of Maine. And they have this practically real time. They give us not only the ocean, the sea surface temperature, and the sea surface temperatures have increased faster than anything else. The other measure that we get from the climate reanalyzer is the 2 meter air temperature. And so they both have been going up at an absolutely alarming rate. With regards to the air temperature, the overall air temperature, we have had a record temperatures for a matter of weeks. The Northern Hemisphere has been at its record hottest for 3 weeks. And the Northern Hemisphere has been showing, as I've noticed previously, an earlier, more rapid, longer sustained increase here. That's very important because there's also a couple of recent papers come out on the Northern Hemisphere vulnerability to its food security. So if we've got these literal spikes of temperature, then food as well has to be caught in our thoughts. With respect to the sea surface, absolutely is completely astounding. We've had almost a three-month daily record sea surface temperatures. And there's a gap between what's happening this month with the sea surface and what's been happening in all previous months, which is widening. In other words, we have a record sea surface temperature, which is getting more and more and more of a record. And it's just kicked back up again. And again, then the North Atlantic, we're talking extraordinary temperatures here. We're talking of a sea surface temperature of 20.9 degrees C. These are absolutely outlandish, totally unexpected in anybody's worst imagination. So I suppose I could say that would be me. Nobody ever anticipated anything like this happening. So, of course, why is it happening? Well, I find that interesting because mostly what we've got are some sort of interesting things. Experts talking about Sahara dust, also experts talking about the El Nino. But I noticed that the WMO and Copernicus have both said that they can't see that this huge increase in temperatures has much to do with El Nino because it's too weak at the moment to be doing stuff like this. And this is temperature stuff, which we've never seen before. We didn't see this with the big El Nino in 1516, for example, nothing like this. There's been a couple of interesting long papers come out recently on Earth energy imbalance. And at the bottom of this situation, of course, is the increase in atmospheric greenhouse gas concentrations, which in turn puts our Earth energy balance out. So Earth energy balance, which is a favorite of Jim Hansen's, has doubled in the past 20, 30, depending on which paper you. So there's been a huge, huge, explosive increase in the total Earth energy imbalance. And so really, we have to expect this sort of huge, big spike jumps in these temperatures. So it's the greenhouse gas emissions is what it is. Atmospheric CO2 concentration has now reached above 421 parts per million, over a 50% increase, and it is accelerating as it always has been. So over the past month or two, atmospheric CO2 has increased at an accelerating rate. And of course then, I think most of us have heard on the methane emergency. Methane is still increasing at an explosive rate since about 2020, 21. And even nitrous oxide is increasing at an accelerating rate. So despite the interesting aspects of the Sahara dust, etc., which I'm sure that is a factor, the big factor is we're still pouring atmospheric global warming greenhouse gases into the lower atmosphere. And so the lower atmosphere is simply in an explosive heat situation right now. And we should not be in the least bit surprised, although we were, to get these phenomenal, huge increasing spikes in actual temperature. So I'll finish with that one. Although I want to mention, I mean, of course, my thing is the climate emergency and the planetary emergency. This is more than a code red emergency. We should have had all our scientists sort of alarmed, up in arms, pushing for immediate action internationally. Nothing so far. We have to react to this. We should have reacted years ago, but to this one, oh my God, yes. So, okay, there you go. Emergency.
Thank you, Peter. We hear you loud and clear. It is not lost on me that these record temperatures for the oceans have been calculated in June, which is, of course, World Oceans Month. Very, very devastating. Paul, I hear that there's some weather weirding afoot. Can you share with us your thoughts on that?
That was Regina Valdez. moderator of a meeting on the historic heat of the summer of 2023. And next up is Paul Beckwith, physicist, engineer, and now a part-time professor at the University of Ottawa.
Yes, well, Peter's very nicely sort of given lots of examples of how bad the situation is with the heating, and we're getting more and more extreme rainfall events, torrential rainfall events as well, and that's directly related to the heating, because for every degree Celsius rise in temperature, there's 7% more water vapor in the atmosphere, and that water vapor rises and condenses, and it releases enormous amounts of energy to fuel these very intense events. And the jet streams are moving more slowly. So these storms, like the one that passed recently through, you know, eastern Canada, through the eastern US, Vermont, and, you know, up into Quebec, was another example of, you know, a place that doesn't do too well in the climate casino. It gets 2 months of its regular rainfall in 2 days. The state capital was pretty much underwater in Vermont. And, you know, these sort of things, these are beyond what people expect, right? They just, they're much far and beyond what anybody imagines, unless you're a regular subscriber to this program. And then less and less of this is surprising you. The temperatures that we're reaching, the temperature humidity combinations, are getting extremely detrimental to human health. We know about the massive Texas heat wave, Northern Mexico heat wave that was ongoing for 3-4 weeks. We reached temperature humidity combinations approaching the wet bulb temperature. This is a first, I believe, for the US. You know, we associate these sort of high temperature, high humidity reaching points where people can't work outside. They can't do anything. They can't even sit outside in the shade. You know, their body overheats, they get heat exhaustion, heat stroke, and die in a matter of like 8 to 10 hours outside if the temperature's higher than 35 with 100% humidity. When we talk about temperatures 50, 45, 50, we're talking about the breakdown of certain chemicals that make up the body, like proteins, for example. You know, think of what happens when you crack an egg over and expose it to 50 degree temperatures. The clear part of the egg turns white, and this is basically denaturation of the protein molecules. They become broken and all twisted, and, you know, make the egg clear part of the egg go white. And, you know, this is actually happening. These chemical breakdowns can actually start occurring in the human body when we reach those sort of temperatures, 50 degrees plus. So we have that to be concerned with. Yeah, there's only so much the human body can take, the physiology, let alone the animals and plant species that are just, they're way outside their comfortable niche with these sort of conditions. James Hansen was talking about how the planet was warming 0.18 degrees Celsius per decade. You know, and Peter just mentioned that, you know, if you compare this June to the previous June, we increased about 0.18 degrees Celsius. That's in 1 year, let alone a decade. And Hansen's paper, Global Warming in the Pipeline, also clearly shows that according to their numbers, the rate of temperature rise is no longer 0.18 degrees Celsius per decade. It's 50 to 100% higher than that. So it's somewhere between 0.27 and 0.36 degrees Celsius per decade from 2010 onwards. You know, we're also getting very non-uniform, non-linear heating. Some parts of the world are hit worse than others, but the heat is widespread. And it is too early, really, to be attributable just to the El Nino, because the El Nino is just really getting going. So bad as things are today, I think in a year we'll do a video, or maybe sooner, and say it's unbelievable how we blew away these records that were set back in 2023 in June. Another thing I want to mention is that the ocean temperatures, the ocean temperatures in the North Atlantic are unbelievably warm. It takes a lot of energy to heat up water. Antarctic sea ice is at record lows from very, very warm ocean water down there. One of the ideas for the huge water temperatures, warm temperatures in the North Atlantic, is a paper came out not too long ago talking about how the jet streams tend to get locked into modes of 5 or 7, where there's 5 ridge trough, 5 times repeated around the planet in the Northern Hemisphere. And in the ridges, it's very hot, very little rainfall. And in the troughs, a lot of rainfall. And when those troughs and ridges overlap crop growing regions for grains and corn and things like that, we can expect yield drops. So the risk of that is getting higher and higher. And also, you know, lots of food is being produced by, they call it blue food, whether it's food from the ocean or food from freshwater sources, whether you're whether it's fish catch or aquaculture. And 90% of those regions are being threatened, yields are being threatened. And that feeds about 3.2 billion people, the blue food component. So all of these things are sort of converging and happening at the moment. So it's not a good situation.
Definitely not a good situation at all, Paul. I got to tell you, I hated hearing it. As much as we're saying that this is really crazy, out of control and intense, months, years down the road, we may be saying that again. It's dumbfounding. Okay. It is dumbfounding. And in terms of mentioning dumbfounding, I'm astonished. I am absolutely astonished and disgusted by the entities who are still promulgating the idea, the canard, that climate change is a hoax. It is just at this point, you know, and I know that we shouldn't waste our time going there, but at this point, it is something that is just so profoundly warped that it's beyond comprehension. People are dying. Other living beings are dying. Our very planet is dying. And we have done this. We have done this. We have to think of something. As Michael Mann says, as bad as it is and as bad as it could be, we have to prevent it from getting worse as much as we can. Because for every bit of warming that we have, things become stepwise worse. So we're not going to make things better necessarily, but what we're looking to is to stop making it worse. Stop making this a planet where there's no birds in the sky and no fish in the sea. I want to turn it back over to Peter.
What we have been doing for many years as a society, a civilization, but primarily as a perverse economy, is completely and absolutely insane. I can give you a couple of figures which will just show you how insane it is. Paul has mentioned that the Antarctica was at a record ever low a couple of months ago. It's now refreezing at a record low rate. The temperature increases in Antarctica are absolutely crazy. 4.45 degrees C, higher than a 20th century average. Over 4 degrees higher in Antarctica. And it's not only around the waters, it's not only around the Southern Ocean. This huge heat increase is actually, for the first time that I know of, affected the main East Antarctica continent. So we are in the biggest trouble, far beyond my imagination ever. We've not kept an eye on the oceans. This is a big part of why we find ourselves here like this. There's a huge energy imbalance, as I've mentioned, as Dr. Hansen had been saying for decades. It's obviously not getting through. Total energy imbalance where the climate situation is, as I say, an explosive state. In just 50 years, we have added energy to the oceans equivalent to 25 billion Hiroshima atomic bombs. 25 billion of these bombs in just a matter of a few decades. That is absolutely insane. And what's happening is, I believe, the main thing is that this is now catching us up. I think that, yeah, El Nino's starting, but I think we're getting some heat feedback from the oceans kicking in. Something that James Lovelock, in his 2008 book, projected would happen, that we cannot keep in putting these huge amounts of energy into the ocean and getting away with it on land. And we're not getting away with it anymore. Because at the same time, we are now putting in the ocean experts tell me, heat at a rate of 11 Hiroshima bombs detonated per second. A couple of years ago, it was 4 per second. There was 5. Last year, it was 7. Now they're saying it's 9 and 11. So we're blowing up our planet. We're literally blowing up our planet. We need, and Antonio Guterres is doing a wonderful job on this onerous file of climate disruption. Yeah, he says we have to jump to it. He says that we're losing control of the climate system. And in his words, he said, I think we're going into a planetary catastrophe. And he's right. What this needs is the entire world to unite, cooperate, and in a vast venture for us to try and save ourselves and save life on this planet. The very worst evil of all this, and this is clearly an evil situation, is that instead of doing that, we're making terrible weapons of mass destruction, and we're having a horrible bloody war in the middle of Europe. This has to stop. It has to stop. And all of that energy and resources has to be applied to our planet so that we might have a future. My last words are to remind you that the IPCC 6 assessment said we have a narrow window in which to secure a livable, sustainable future. That meant our time is up. So gotta listen to the IPCC when they say things like that.
Thank you for that, Peter. And as you have said so many times, the IPCC is notoriously conservative in its estimates. So absolutely, if they are speaking in these dire terms, we better pay attention. It's all very difficult to be a part of the species sometimes, I have to admit. Paul, what are your thoughts? Close us out. Do you have any hope to offer us?
Yeah, clearly we're completely heading in the wrong direction. You know, there's enough signs around the world of how bad things really are. And yet, politicians still manage to, downplay them or ignore them. And countries still manage to do the exact opposite of what they should be doing. I mean, we should be slashing and cutting fossil fuels, clearly. But instead of that, we're subsidizing them at ever higher rates. And as a result, greenhouse gases are rising in the atmosphere at ever record rate, and everything is heading in the wrong direction. I had a nice peaceful few hours at Crawford Lake, which has been in the news. You may have heard of it as being perhaps the golden spike, if you like, the dividing line between the Holocene, which was a stable climate conducive to human development and human growth from hunter-gatherers to highly industrialized civilization, dividing line. But now we seem to be, many people are saying we're in sort of an Anthropocene state where human impact on the planet is just massive and, all invasive everywhere. And part of it, is, of course, this incredible warming that we're seeing of atmosphere oceans. We've changed the chemistry of the atmosphere oceans. We're putting ever more heat into the climate system, and there's enormous consequences that we're seeing. Just want to reiterate, it takes a lot of energy to heat ocean water. So the idea that the North Atlantic is 5 or 6 degrees warmer than normal, off the UK and stuff, and that's being attributed. I think the main cause is this Greenland blocking situation that's occurring, which causes the jet streams to get in this wave number 5 or 7 mode. And this is really going to, is a high risk to our global food supply. Also, aerosols do provide a cooling effect on the planet. And, we've cut sulfur in marine fuels to reduce aerosols. But if we do that too quickly, and then we can get tremendous warming spikes, half a degree, up to even a degree because of the reduction of aerosols. And James Hansen thinks that that is one of the main contributing factors to these record high temperatures in the North Atlantic. And, as the Arctic warms because of Arctic temperature amplification by itself, there's less heat going there from the equator. So more heat is going into the southern hemisphere or staying at the equator, causing, record temperatures and approaching wet bulb at the equator, but also causing, you know, record ice melt and warming in Antarctica. So the whole climate system is connected for sure. And we're seeing abrupt climate system change occurring, you know, sort of in real time more and more often.
Thank you for that, Paul. It's the abruptness that's so disconcerting. In addition to the abruptness, as I mentioned, our species is disconcerting. I want to just share with you before we close out, I was reading an article about a sea otter in California that is apparently stealing surfboards from surfers. But the officials in California have said that hopefully the sea otter won't bite a surfer because then they will have to euthanize her. And what they're working on now is to capture her so that they can put her somewhere, an aquarium or something. And I'm sitting here thinking, what kind of craziness is this? So we have an endangered species, and we've got this bonehead species that is using the endangered species home to recreate. And our solution is to take that endangered species and put it in a cage, okay? Homo sapiens, we have a problem, okay? And it is us. We need to wake up. Please, I know you watching are awake. Talk to your friends, share these stories, share our findings, and let people know. Shake them if you have to. We have to change because we are at the edge of an abyss.
That was Regina Valdez, moderator of the meeting on the historic heat of the summer 2023. Thanks for the material for this radio program to the Climate Emergency Forum and their Zoom entitled Historic Heat Passing the Threshold. It's on their YouTube channel. Just search for Climate Emergency Forum. Dr. Peter Carter is expert intergovernmental panel on climate change reviewer and the director of the Climate Emergency Institute. Paul Beckwith is a physicist, engineer, and part-time professor at the University of Ottawa. And Regina Valdez is Climate Reality Project Director, New York City. They met by Zoom on July 12, 2023. And as I am recording this on Tuesday, July 18, Axios News reports that again today, record highs have been set in the U.S., Europe, and part of Asia. They call it an example of simultaneous, compounding extreme weather and climate events, which scientists have been warning of for some time. The heat waves are a sign that climate change impacts are escalating faster than expected. End quote from Axios News. You can hear this program again for free on TUC Radio's website, tucradio.org. My name is Maria Gilardin. Thank you for listening.